How are you?
Oh, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
Red light going?
What?
If you look on the screen, there should be a record, like, digitally. Yeah? All right. that feels great, by the way. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful, exciting, amazing episode of Hanging with Humans. It's me, your host, RJ, and I am sitting in a tattoo shop by the name of Ink House Tattoo Art Gallery, and it's off Monte Cristo Road in Edensburg, Texas. And I have another guest today. Hold on, I'm drawing a blank right now. Sorry, dude. I don't know. I forgot your name. You know, Freddie. That's right. God damn it,
Freddie Honda.
Freddie Honda. All right, Freddie. Freddie, what's your last name, Freddie?
My last name is Ramirez.
Thank you for finishing that sentence.
Ramirez.
And how old are you, Freddie?
I am going to be 37 next month, so I'm 36.
You lie. Look at that baby face, dude. 37? I don't believe it.
Yeah, 37 years old, yeah. People come in here and they're like, I start telling them about my journey and my story and stuff, and they're like, bro, how old are you? So how old do I look? Like 20, like 26? I'm like, hell no, I wish.
Nah, people say the same thing about me. So what we're doing here today is I'm getting best bro tats with my other best bro, Freddie, over here. Not this Freddie, other Freddie. I just met this Freddie. And I thought it'd be a cool idea, or actually Freddie thought it'd be a cool idea, for me to do a podcast while I get a tattoo while interviewing other Freddie. And I'm going to say it's actually the best idea Freddie's had in a long time. So thank you for that, Freddie. So what we do here on the podcast is I interview people and I let them paint a picture of what their life looks like, how it began, where it's going, and everything in between. So with that being said, Freddie, I got a bunch of questions for you.
Go for it, brother.
Where were you born?
I was born in Matamoros, Tamaulipas, Mexico, which is a border town in Mexico right next to Brownsville.
Really?
I got papers. Don't worry. I got papers.
Sure?
I got papers. My uncle's a doctor over there. My mom was having complications when I was a kid. I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. Okay. The doctors here in the hospital said that it was just normal. So when we went over there to Mexico with my uncle, he was like, nah, he needs to get operated. Like, you need to get an emergency C-section because, yeah, you're in trouble. So, I started off life with a gamble.
It paid off, I suppose.
Yes, it does.
So, you're born in Mexico.
But I was raised in Brownsville.
You were, okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your mother and father?
My father has a locksmith company called J&J Locksmith. He's had that company ever since I was born. And my mother has always been like a house mother, but has also helped my father like with his business and stuff.
Gotcha.
So I would say that my mom's job is, which is being like a house mother, but cooking, cleaning, you know what I mean? Doing the whole thing. So it's a job. Job. Yeah. Shout out to my parents.
Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I actually have another two brothers and a younger sister.
And what do they do?
I have no idea. I don't really talk to them.
Really?
Yeah, it's more of a hi-bye stuff. I know my other brother, before my sister, he recently started tattooing, and right now he's tattooing in San Antonio. So he's doing that. I don't know other brother's doing, and my sister, I don't know what she's doing either.
Do you have a pretty big family?
Just us. That's pretty much it. we've never really been super family oriented. We've always just been us. So it's just really just been us. We don't really hang out with cousins or none of that in my family.
So sad. I feel that.
So sad.
You say you're 37 years old. I don't believe it. But if that is really a thing, so have you spent your entirety of your life in Texas?
I've spent most of my life in Texas. I lived in Oklahoma. I lived West Texas. I lived in Houston. So yeah, pretty much Texas. Just a few months that I lived in Oklahoma. That's about it.
What do you love about Texas?
Man.
If you love it. Do you love it?
I love Texas because I'm from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't agree with that I wish like the laws on like marijuana and all that stuff, mm-hmm. right? I have to go to Colorado and out of state to be able to smoke comfortably and stuff.
Yeah,
but other than that, Texas is good. Texas has the most people in prison, which is really? You know pretty crazy, bro, too, and stuff. And that's one of the only things I don't really like about Texas, those two things. Other than that, it's chilling, bro. I don't mind it.
Does Texas have the death penalty?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, so life growing up over, did you grow up in Brownsville?
So I grew up in Brownsville, went to school in Brownsville, elementary, middle school, high school, graduated, went to college, did the whole thing. And then from there, you know, I had my jobs and stuff. And life took me a certain route, a different route, and I started getting in trouble. It's very hard to get in trouble. Especially like at a border town.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to make money, bro. So easy. Like you can literally like just, hey, these people need to be picked up close to the border and taken to another house.
Yeah.
Chinese people, Mexican people, Russian people, and
everybody.
People go and pick them up or like, hey, I need this stuff moved to a different house or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it's real easy to get caught up there if you're very weak-minded when it comes to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people, they struggle and stuff and they try to find, you know, a resort and doing stuff like that. So that's how I got caught up. Yeah.
So a lot of people end up in like gangs and stuff like that. Was that?
Not a lot of people, but it's because it already depends. Like how you said, I was raised in a ghetto-ish neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, just because you were raised there doesn't mean that that's how you're gonna end up. It's just really the people you hang out with. It's like, I saw people with trucks, and I saw people like, you know, doing their thing and stuff. And I'm like, man, I want that. You know, I was working a 9-to-5 job, but these guys were like chilling all day and then making 3 times as much as I was. So why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had to learn the hard way. I got caught eventually, and you know, I did time and stuff like that, but. That's there's a lot of that down there, bro. You know what I mean? A lot of young Tex-Mex Latino guys, that's what they get caught up in. And they end up ruining their lives.
It's easy to fall into. Huh?
Yeah.
And so you ended up doing that later on, but you said you went to school first. What were you interested in?
So I was going to school for phlebotomy, and then I just thought that it wasn't for me. So I started going to school for auto mechanics,
mm-hmm.
and then I ended up getting kicked out of school because I was dating this Philippine chick, and I caught her cheating on me, and I punched the guy, and I got kicked out of school. I was suspended for a whole semester, and then I just decided not to go anymore.
And that was it.
And that was it, bro. That was really it. I came to that.
What were you going to be majoring in?
I was in auto mechanics auto tech.
Oh, that's right. Auto tech.
Yeah.
So you venture out of that. What's your next move career wise?
Career wise is just tattooing, honestly, and music. I also do music. I'm in a band called Popular Loner. We do a little bit of rap rock. It's been great. We just have a year doing it, and it's been an awesome adventure. I was in another group before that, which kind of sparked it. You know what I mean? Started getting my reputation in the music world, and you know, and once people heard my music, and then they saw that I would tattoo, I started tattooing a lot of people as well. You know, it already started because I was tattooing first, but I wanted to get some type of promotion, like, out there. You know what I mean? And Freddie would come all the time, and we would be flowing and, you know, the fucking just doing our thing and shit. And then I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I want to do it for real, for real. Yeah, you know what I mean? Fuck it, right?
Yeah.
And this guy would always motivate me. He's like, nah, dude, we got to take it day by day and, you know, just give it our all best or whatever. And
yeah,
I just fell for it, bro. And ever since then, I've just been doing music and it's been working for me.
I love that, man. Where does your inspiration for music come from, would you say?
Well, since I was a kid, I grew up playing instruments in church, guitar, bass, piano, all that stuff. So it kind of just stuck around. I played in several bands. Mm-hmm. In school, I played guitar and I played in jazz band. And then I started playing like bands that like I was playing like Tool, Slipknot, Korn, yeah, like all the good new metal and 90s and early 2000s. So the band that I'm in right now, we basically, that's the style that we got going on. It's like early 2000s. You know what I mean?
Got like that Houston sort of... what is it, like Suicide Boys,
kind of like imagine like a Suicide Boys but with rock,
okay
with a little bit of guitar. I mean, a lot of people do compare us to the Suicide Boys, but I like to say that we have a very distinct sound when we add our rock to it.
So I watched Freddie, me and Freddie, we watched two of your videos.
I think what we were
there. Wow. So it's you and you have another...
Yeah, so it's me and my brother, Troy. Oh, my brother, right from another mother, but my brother, Troy, we're the ones that started Popular Loner.
That's awesome. There's one thing, it paused at the very end of the video, and then you guys say something super funny, and it was, like, hilarious. What was that, Freddie? I can't remember. The way that thing was done, man, and it was amazing. It was an amazing video.
Oh yeah, and that one, I take a puff, and I don't have any tattoos, and all of a sudden my tattoos appear and stuff with the weed. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I was like very impressed. Like, I mean, everything, the music, amazing. What do you have like future plans with that?
So, we have a lot of future plans actually.
You said you have a concert soon?
Yeah, so we have a. We're gonna be at the Viper, at the Viper Arena, here in Edinburgh, and it's gonna be on February 14th on Valentine's Day. But the good thing about it is, before anybody said, "Well, that's Valentine's Day," look, you're gonna go enjoy a badass basketball game, a badass concert. They're gonna be giving out roses. They're gonna be giving out like candy, you know. So they're making it like really, really badass for the couples and stuff.
That's awesome.
So it's a great way. It's the tickets are only $8. They usually go for like 25, sometimes more.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the tickets are only that much, bro. So
that's awesome on Valentine's Day. Yeah, Vipers Arena. That's where you go before you watch the basketball game, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Your brother from another mother, Troy, can you tell me a little bit about him and how you guys came to be and start doing music together?
Yeah, so I hit up his DM. I slid through his DMs. And now, he basically, we contacted each other, and I had seen him like make a song, right? And I told him, yeah, bro, you got some badass music.
Yeah.
You know, we should link up one of these days or whatnot. And he was like, yeah. So one day we ended up linking up, and we ended up doing, I don't know if you saw that video that had like AI in it.
Freddie, what was the first one we watched? The second one? The first video. What? Which one was that one?
The green account, Loretta.
Oh, GTFO.
Yeah.
The bitch, get the fuck out of there. Yeah. Okay, that was more like our rap stuff, yeah.
Okay.
So we actually kind of blew up with that song, mm-hmm. and with the one I'm telling you that has like AI in it, that the one that has AI in it got us into the news. You know, they hit us up from the news, Channel 4, Channel 5, you know, the Spanish channel. Okay. And then GTFO opened doors up in the hip hop world.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time there's like a hip hop artist or whatever, they hit us up.
That's what's up, dude. And this is just all off of YouTube, just like
YouTube and all social, all platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
We're everywhere. We just, but I think the last concert that we had was with Mexican OT. We opened up for Mexican OT, and we pulled up in a green lowrider to the stage. We just try to be different than everybody else, bro. Yeah, we try to put on a show.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I'm pumped for you guys. I am pumped for you guys, straight up. Popular Loner, how'd you come up with the name?
The name, so my friend Troy already kind of had the name, and he was like, look, bro, I wanted to do this clothing brand and call it Popular Loner. And then I was like, nah, fuck that. Let's just call it Popular. Let's just make it into a band. And at first it was just me and him. And then from there, we start adding more guys, which is our the guitar player and the, you know, shout out to Ozzy. We recently are getting a new drummer and a new bass player. So we're just waiting on that, and we have our full band again.
That's awesome, man. So from a band question real quick, what does it take to put together a song, like produced all the way and like, you know, out there, or maybe a video too? Like,
So the way we do our songs is we get together, and sometimes I'm having a bad day. Sometimes he's having a bad day. We get one of our beats that we already have there, and we just kind of... We put our feelings in it. So every single song that you heard from us, mm-hmm. it's like a heartbreak song, because we were both going through a heartbreak time. Him with his girl and me with my girl, you know what I mean? And it was a lot of inspiration. So we would go to the studio and just create these things. And sometimes we would hear it, and sometimes we'll tear up because we're hearing mm-hmm. our lyrics, but they're not like, okay, this sounds good, let's say this. No, they're actually coming from us. And it's been an emotional ride. It's been cool. So whenever you hear our songs, you're hearing my story, basically. Like in my relationship, in my mind, going through addictions, going through feeling like you're alone, depression and all that. So I have several songs that talk about that.
That's awesome, man. I think there's a need for that, like, transparency in the world right now. And so it's a big reason why I do this is for mental health purposes, you know.
I believe a lot in mental health awareness mm-hmm. and helping people to have mental health, because it's real, bro. It's people think, nah, it's all in your head. Nah, it's real. Yeah. Like, this shit does come and attack you, and some people are lucky enough to face it and keep going another day, and some people just give up. You know, absolutely. It gets to the point where people give up. And it's our job, people like us, it's our job to be able to help those people too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm very appreciative, like you, that you do your podcast and you go and you help people out and make them understand that there's more to life than what they're living, you know what I mean? Than what they're going through, because everybody goes through something. So they're not alone. We just have to remind them that they're not alone, and we're there to help them out.
Thank you for putting it that way, because that's exactly how I feel about it. From beginning to end.
Yes, you know, sir.
There are a lot of voices out there that just don't get to be heard for whatever reason. And I think it's important for those stories, for people to meet those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Show that you can get through things. I want to, since, you know, we're on the mental health thing, a lot of people from depression can turn into addiction. They're running from what they're dealing with in their head or at home, and then they... You know, drugs can numb you, or alcohol can numb you.
Yeah, bro. Like me, in my story, I used to be not addicted, but I used to run to like drugs, cocaine, crack, all that type of stuff. And I would try to, and that shit would numb me for a little bit, and it would stop me from thinking all these thoughts, because I was in a very abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I was always mentally challenged with my emotions, because a lot of people, they're like, well. Not that my wife would hit me or nothing, but she would like really like get me through the emotional and mental side.
Yeah.
And sometimes, verbal. Even though we have our friends and even though we have people that back us up, sometimes if we feel that we need more than that, so we run to drugs and it numbs mm-hmm. our being for a couple minutes or for an hour. And then, but everything comes back, and it comes times two, because now you're not that, but you have all your friends looking for you, and then you have and calm all down. These things, because it's happened to me. You know, there's been times where Freddie had to go look for me. You know what I mean? Because they would say they couldn't find me, mm-hmm. and I do have friends that do look out for me and stuff. But we sometimes we're hard headed, and we don't just want our friends; we want some other type of of escape, which is the drugs. So recently that I've been sober for a good minute already, and like thanks to like my fellow peers and like my wife, like my fiance now, and like God, you know what I mean? I've turned my faith to God, and He's helped me out a lot as well. And it's just it's amazing, bro. It's crazy how you feel that this is going to be your life for the rest of your life, and things just change.
Yeah.
Yes. Like from one day to another, you know what I mean? Without you even realizing it. By the time you realize it, you're like, yeah, damn, like everything's cool. You know what I mean? It's badass though.
It there's like a price that comes with not giving up.
What do you think?
Yeah, boy. That's dope. I love it. Thanks, bro.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate it. We're still going to interview and continue.
But
now we're just switching dudes now. Now, Frank.
Yeah, I know. How much are you guys paying me for this again?
Paying you with my friendship. Because I'm such a good
friend. I see that one. You got to finish that one too, right?
Yeah, I sure do. That one. Let's see. Half my back needs to be done. I need some shading done on my fat.
I like that geezer girl.
Thank you. Yeah. That's my my day one Autumn Hudson. She's like crazy good.
On the outside or inside?
Inside.
Okay.
But yeah, I am gonna need lots of work done, to be honest. Is it recording?
Yeah,
boy.
Is it recording? Can you just double check? Should be. I didn't turn it off, but RJ likes pressing buttons.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna smoke a joint, and then I'm gonna come back and really set this bitch off. Yeah. You take over from here, Freddie. Yeah. And this is just for my own stuff, but yeah. If you could think of a moment or a chapter that was like a change of course for you in your life, or a wake-up call, I wonder.
Shit, prison, bro. Prison. Mm-hmm. Having a daughter. And caring about people's feelings or caring about other people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we do a lot of stuff without thinking, and then we don't know who we're hurting in the process.
Being less selfish, right?
Yeah, like less selfish. Yeah.
Selfless
and humble and shit.
Humble, yeah. Okay, so. We'll do a little bit. We'll touch on business for a little bit. Besides tattooing, and we'll kind of go through that process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you have a good reputation for yourself, and like it depends on your character. Like, I feel like if you have a good character, or if you have positive energy, it reflects upon other people. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you walk into the room, or like let's say right now, like you throw this positive energy, and it is not an awkward feeling, or it's not like something like. Damn, like, I don't know, something feels weird. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like to consider myself like that. I can go anywhere, and, like, doors are always open, but because of humbleness, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the way you communicate with people, and, like, it doesn't matter how you look. Like, I mean, I'm tatted from the face, you're all tatted. You know what I mean? But they say that the people that are most tattooed, those are the nicest people ever, bro. Like,
that's
what
very
mean?
True, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of people like to stereotype, but then it's, like, total opposite, you know what I mean?
That's a huge one of the main reasons why I started doing this is because that I've moved to so many different places where sometimes people don't look like me there, right? Like Montana is predominantly Caucasian, like across the board, and I got there's not a lot of tattoo, like, you know, so it took a while for people to warm up to me, but now I consider that place home because I've changed so much and grown as a person there more than anywhere else. And I've learned about other people there. Like, it's crazy. Like, we're all different, but we're all so alike in most ways. If people would just sit down and talk to somebody.
Of course.
But, you know, judging a book by its cover.
And people told me, it's because I have a lot of friends that are tattooed also, or like, just very antisocial. And they're like, because everywhere I go, bro, it just feels awkward. Because you're not going and talking to nobody. You're not engaging. You're just literally just there. And you're just... like, bro, engage. Hey, what's up, bro? Like, I like your shirt. I don't know what the fuck that is, but I like your shirt, type of shit. You know what I mean? Just engage. Yeah. And from there, you start building. That's why everywhere I go, bro, like, everywhere I go, I tell people, look, we start talking, and then as soon as they tell me, so what do you do for a living? I'll be like, well, I do tattoos. Oh, really? And like, everybody wants tattoos. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like, people that are in music is like, oh, I do music. I do music too. He's like, oh yeah, for reals. And I show them my music and they're like, what the fuck? Like, that's cool.
You know? You so, never know, right?
Yeah. So. And it just opens new opens doors. Like, it doesn't matter what type of music you do. Like, it, if you have a strong, good character, bro, yeah, like, it opens doors anywhere and shit. So,
do you think that's something that can be taught, or do you think it's just something that you're born with?
I feel like some people are just naturally like that, you know what I mean? But there's some, I've known people that have been super, super quiet people. Like, they're real, like,
yeah,
to themselves when they were younger. And then right now they're like pastors or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like you just grow into it. You know what I mean?
No, that makes perfect sense.
So since I was a kid, like, I've always played music at church and opened up services, and like, I used to work at Hot Fingers, so I have a lot of like customer service experience and talking to people. And you know, I used to do my morning influentials in the morning, you know, on live, and people would tune in, and you know, so I
that's tight. Yeah,
I'm already kind of like used to it a little bit.
Yeah. No stage fright.
Yeah, exactly. I perform on stage, and
yeah,
I just go out there and do my thing, bro. And most of the time, like, I'm just high, honestly.
Same.
Yeah. And it helps, you know what I mean? It's not like I don't do it to like, oh, I want to go party and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I get out of work and I'm just like frustrated and I'm like, man, I just want to get baked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'll take a dab or something, right? But most of the time I'm high because it just keeps me calm.
Yeah,
right? I'm
just same. People don't understand that. And do you think it's because it's illegal here, do you think there's more of a looking down on it?
Yeah, I mean, everywhere you go, people smoke, bro. And right now, like, you go, I have a friend and his name is Trevor from Real CBD. He has a CBD store. Mm-hmm. And he has stuff that's like legal, but like, you see it and it looks just like the real thing.
Yeah.
Smells like the real thing. Mm-hmm. Feels like the real thing. So it like, it trips me out, right? Mm-hmm. But are you ready?
Yeah. Like a Delta 8, Delta 9.
Like a Delta 9, but I don't know, bro. Like, that shit just, it hits. But yeah, I guess it's more acceptable, bro, because look, I'll carry my pen with me everywhere I go, and it just outside of the parking lot of Walmart or whatever, and I just boom and relax, and I just go in, and it just keeps me from like people, like, because people stare at me because of my face tattoos. Mm-hmm. And when I'm high, like, I just really don't care.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you, I guess you,
but I've learned to accept that, hey, it's going to happen, bro. People will get tattoos on their face. I mean, it's going to happen. People are going to look at you regardless.
Regardless.
So you can't get mad about it.
Can't.
Unless they're literally like just
me bugging you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've had ladies like, I'm walking and I've had ladies like hold on to their purse tight and shit.
Oh, shit.
It's like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just something passed down from the, you know, family, parents, you know, just like, hey, that's a thing we think. People covered in tattoos are not good people.
It's, yeah, that's just a sad, how they were raised.
And yeah, stuff. How they were raised. Where was I go with that? Okay. Well, I mean, I'm down to start this like right now, which we have been. But with the intro. So while I was gone taking a break, I had some questions get written up by Johnny, the homie. And these are for you, Freddie. You ready? Ready for some randos? What is your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory was sitting down every Saturday to watch the Ninja Turtles. On Saturdays, cartoons. That was my favorite part.
Love that. Love the Ninja Turtles.
That's it. Too.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Raphael.
But why?
Because it's his attitude, bro.
He does.
He has a very distant, like, attitude, like, ignorant attitude, like, you know what I mean? And I feel like that. That's how I used to be.
I feel that.
As you can see, fucking on my shit. You didn't even want to get it. Like, I really don't want to get it. Let me do it on you. Come on.
I do like Grandma Z, but you get flowed with my nephews. Mm. But I let peer pressure and alcohol get the best of them.
Oh, man. How many times have you said that, A million?
I've said it in 2 years.
Good for you. Oh, yeah. 2 years off the sauce.
I'm proud of you, bro.
Congratulations. And how long for you, Freddie?
I've been sober for...
Nice.
I want to say, like, going to 2 years?
Nice. I'm at like a year and a half or less, like a year. And
I did drink when I went to Louisiana, but it's because I don't drink, bro. Because when I drink, I think I'm allergic to it because I start getting like itches on the bottom of my feet, on my hands.
Any kind of alcohol?
Like anything. Really? Like when I would go to the bar with him, like sometimes I would like, I'll drink a little bit, but then I had like that shit and then I'll start feeling like shit. So I just didn't do it anymore.
Damn. Yeah.
But when I went to Louisiana, since they were free and we were in the slot machines and shit, they would bring me the drinks and I was like, fuck it. I had one, nothing happened. Then I did another one and nothing happened. When I was about to order my third one, I started feeling it. So I stopped.
Oh, damn.
But I got pretty buzzed with those two.
I bet. Where's your happy place?
In the sky. That's one of my happy places. The other part, happy faces is being with my kids, spending time with children, playing outside with them. Like, because in my heart, I still feel like a child. So like I drop down to their level and I just like to have fun. It takes me back. Like if I'm doing it, like when I was younger, you know, we go outside, you know, play with the fake guns and go play soccer and shit like that.
Still living your
kids. Fall, and these kids fall, hurt themselves, and they start crying. And I tell them, man up, it's gonna go away. And then boom, you know what I mean? So that's I'm trying to do everything that I didn't have growing up. Which I had my mother and my father, but my father wasn't really like the type to like, oh, just go play outside or anything. He was always at work. So I'm trying to balance that, you know, being a dad and being like doing this music thing and the tattoo thing and stuff. And it's hard, bro, because sometimes you just get focused on one thing and it's like, damn, like, absolutely. Like you lose yourself in it. And then you're like, you snap back to reality. And you're like, wait, oh shit, I got my family over here or I got my kids or I got, you know what, instead of going to the studio or instead of getting that extra tattoo that I could can do tomorrow, I'll just take my kids to the park or some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
It's easy to get tunnel vision on something.
It does, bro. And don't get me wrong. It's a real good thing to have tunnel vision in what you're doing. Tunnel vision in what you're doing and stuff. But it's also good not to forget, you know, your other responsibilities.
Absolutely. There's a balance.
Yeah.
What, besides smoking weed, what helps you find that balance? Is there any other thing?
God helps you find that balance. My fiance helps me find that balance. Like my kids, you know, like support and stuff. So
love that. What about your fiance? Would you mind?
So she's on her way right now, but she works. She's a director at the hospital. Like she works for all the marketing and all that stuff at the hospital.
Oh, hell yeah.
And big support, bro. She has 4 kids and all those kids, like I've been knowing her for 4 years already. So we already have an establishment. When I got, you know how I was telling you that I didn't really have a lot of like cousins that I would hang out with, her family, we were really close. With her family, it's like the opposite. Like all her family loves me. So like cousins, aunts, uncles, you know what I mean? It's like I mean, my mom and my dad are always going to be my mom and dad, and I really love them a lot, but that's, like, my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
That's awesome, man.
It's a crazy experience, bro. It's amazing.
No, I'm always so appreciative that, you know, the other side's family can bring you in, you know, like, because there's, you know, other times where that's not a thing.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about your career?
I get to hurt people every day.
You're sick. I'm just playing. Yeah.
It's just my favorite part of it is just meeting new people every day, bro. Like you guys and shit. It's a blessing meeting you guys. I already know Freddie, right? But meeting you and stuff and homeboy over here and just hearing people's stories, like kind of like what you do, and you're hearing everybody's story, you know what I mean? And hearing the stuff that people go through or why they're getting tattooed, like, it's just, it's never boring, bro. It's boring when they bring, like, whenever people want to come and get, like, a butterfly tattoo or, like, you know, shit or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But I guess meeting the person and, like, especially if they're more open and they talk a lot, it makes up for it because you get to hear, like, whether it's a fake story or a non-story, you're just hearing new stories every day. Kind of like prison, bro. Like, in prison, I remember when I was locked up, I would hear all these fucking people's stories, like, oh, I should do this, I should do that. And some were, like, believable. Some were, like, oh, my God, like, yeah bro, whatever. You know what I mean? But It's fun, bro. I like that.
Yeah, you don't know until you know, right?
Yeah.
Chew pet beavers. Is that what you wrote?
Pet peeves.
Oh, chew pet peeves. What's some shit you just cannot stand?
Shit, I can't stand.
You should make that a shit. I can't stand.
Cocky people.
Okay.
I like to hang out with humble people and like. You know, do shit like that.
That was a word that I mean. One of the most humble guys I've ever met.
Yeah, this guy's pretty humble. He might look like a little cocky prick, but yeah, he's humble.
I know.
He's always had my back, and he's always like, he's always come through, bro. Like,
yeah.
I hate avocado.
Avocados?
Really? Fucking hate avocado.
Really?
I hate avocado.
Great,
I know a way, but I hate avocado.
He's not coming to the barbecue then. Anyway, my guacamole. I gotta make the
avocado barbecue tomorrow.
Slam dunk.
You don't show up though.
I'm not sure. That's all good.
What do you mean? Just because of that, I'm gonna show up.
Prove me wrong.
All right. They still live in the same house?
Reverse integration.
They still live in the same house? Yeah, okay, I got you.
In the gated community, he's done well for himself.
Very proud of you, buddy.
So those are his questions. Those are good ones, bro. I think you have a future in this.
When we had lost light, right? That's when we went to your house?
Yep.
Yeah, we had lost light.
Maybe one day. Prison. Can we talk about prison?
Yeah, you can talk about it. No, I didn't get raped.
Oh, that was
like a- Nah, so I was a good kid, bro. Like, literally, like, I grew up in a neighborhood or whatever, and I would do my shit, but, like, I was a church kid, you know what I mean? And I would do, like, some bad stuff just so people could think I was cool. Like, my friends and shit, like, we'll spray paint a wall or some shit, you know what I mean? But then I started smoking at a young age, like bud, after school and stuff. Sorry, Mom. And, from there, it's like you said, like, the people you hang out with, that's the type of shit. So I got caught up. I used to sell coke, and I got caught up not selling stuff, but like punching a guy because he didn't pay me the 20 that I sold him. So I got an assault with bodily injury, and then I started sending weed up north through mail, through FedEx and stuff, and I got caught up with that as well. And I went to the feds for that. And then the third time I had gone to prison, it was I used to sell crack, and a crackhead just came up to me, and I was about to sell it to him, and then a cop was coming. So I kind of just booked it, and they kind of followed me. And I threw the shit through the window, and then just, you know, I ended up crashing at the courthouse in Brownsville. And I got sent to prison for that, too. So it was just because it was the hustle. I didn't need to do it, but it was easy money. You know what I mean? I just got out of prison. I didn't want to work at McDonald's. I didn't want to do shit. Like, you know what I mean?
That's
like
a tough transition.
You come out thinking you're going to do right, and it's just this... All this other stuff comes to you, and they're like, man, this is easy as fuck. I can do this. Like, I'm good at it. You know what I mean? And yeah, bro, from there, I just did my time. I did my whole time and just got back out in society. In 2019, I got out, and I've just paid my dues to society and just been, you know, as been who I am now.
Yeah.
It took a long process to become the person that I am now, but I mean, I don't regret it, bro. It was an amazing journey. And like I said, I've met a lot of badass people along the way and stuff, like Freddie and a whole bunch of my other friends and stuff. And like, it's all lead me to being the person I am right now. And like, even the shop, bro, like everybody here's family. We all fuck with each other. We're all like, hey man, this is a unit. Like we're all together and stuff. Like, yeah, I put my whole faith in the whole tattoo family that we have here at the shop.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, bro. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people think that you can never change. Or people say, oh, he's never going to change. Because a lot of people go to prison, they just go back, and they go back, and they go back, and they go back. But because they get used to it, they're like, nah, this is not the life for me. They put themselves in that situation.
Yeah.
You know what? Life doesn't accept me. I need to be in prison. And that was my mentality. It was starting to be, you know, like, fuck it, I'll just get locked up. I'll do a little bit of time, and I'll get out again. Nah, but that's not the way to live. Because your family starts missing you. Like, everybody starts missing you. And it's just, it's...
Some people don't got family like that, too. And then they're just like, well, what other option do I have? So what was the biggest wake-up call that was like, all right, we ain't never going back. We're out for good.
Like, when I had my son with my first marriage... That made me change my mental, but things weren't helping because of the person I was with. And then I had my daughter, and it made me change a lot as well with my daughter. But slowly that positive and that wanting to change started leaving me little by little because of the place I was at. You know what I mean? The relationship I was in and all that stuff. And it was just leaving that relationship really, like, opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And realized that everything that I've been praying for when I thought, like, God wasn't listening to me, like, came to life. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, I needed to prepare you for this. You know what I mean? And that's, I needed to go through that storm and that preparation so that way it led me to what I have now, which is, to me, is a gift from him, you know?
Love that, man.
Because it's what a coincidence. Like, I prayed for a family. He gave me family. I prayed for her family to like me. They all like me, you know, for peace, for love, mm-hmm. for, you know what I mean, for a job, for constant work. And it happens, bro. So
you got it.
Pretty happy about that.
I love that, bro. I love that. Where do we have, we got your music, we got your tattooing, Valentine's Day, we got a concert, right?
Yeah, we got a concert Valentine's Day, and we also have a show this Friday at the White Rhino, downtown McAllen.
White Rhino, downtown
McAllen. It starts at 10. It's nothing but, if you like rock, metal, you know, death metal, like all that shit, they're going to be playing all that shit. Live that. Music.
You recently hung out with the Mexican OT, right?
Yeah, that's my boy right there, man.
Yeah?
He's doing it big right now. We've I've opened up for him. The first time I opened up for him was like 2 years, 3 years ago in Plainview, Texas. And then I did it again in Houston. And then I did it again. And so after seeing me for the second time, he was like, yo, bro, I know you. And started chopping it up. This is before Diddy, before like all the, before Johnny Dang, before all that shit. Like, this was like when he was barely starting, bro. And you know, I was blessed to have chilled with him. We brought they had brought him down over here in Far, Texas. We were chilling with him there, and then that's when we opened up this last show with him. That's when we came out in a lowrider. So it was pretty badass.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Here's the camera right here. Hold on.
You're okay.
Give me a second.
You're good. See you on.
So for the last, I guess we'll finish up with, do you want to do any shout outs? Do you have any?
Shout out to my family. Shout out to my wife, my kids. No, shout out to Troy. Shout out to the whole Ink House family, you know, all the artists, my parents, and to everybody that's watching who is going through like depression or like mental health, or thinking that, you know, there's no escape from the issues that you're having. There is always an escape. There's always someone there. You know, and if you feel that there's not, just, you know, all you got to do is, you know, pray to God up there. I'm not encouraging you to be a Bible hugger, but just, you know, have a relationship with God, and he's there for you. And call your friends up. Tell them, hey, bro, I need you. Come fuck around with me.
There you know go. What I mean? Find yourself.
You'll know who your real friends are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Freddie, thank you so much for your time, brother. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Freddie. I think you're other Freddie now, because this Freddie's way cooler. And thanks, everybody. And goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye. Peace.